When the glory comes, it will be ours. It will be ours. Oh, one day, when the war is won, we will be sure. We will be sure. Oh, glory.
Glory. Glory.
Oh.
Hands to the heavens, no man, no weapon formed against, yes, glory is destined. Everyday women and men become legends. Sins that go against our skin become blessings. The movement is a rhythm to us. Freedom is like religion to us. Justice is juxtaposition in us. Justice for all just ain't specific enough. One son died, his spirit is revisiting us. True and living, living in us. Resistance is us. That's why Rosa sat on the bus. That's why we walked through Ferguson with our hands up. When it go down, we woman and man up. They say stay down, and we stand up. Shots, we on the ground. The camera panned up. King pointed to the mountaintop, and we ran up.
One day.
Good morning. Welcome to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. You know my voice already. It's Levin Miller. Thank you so much for joining me. Thank you so much for letting me join you. I don't know what it is you do at 11 o'clock, whatever it is that you do, though. I'm happy that you're doing that, with me. I don't need to tell you. It's Friday. Bim. We made it. Hallelujah. Ugh, man, I'm always so happy when it's Friday. You have no idea. So, I woke up, well, I didn't wake up too, because I was up from about 4 o'clock this morning. Sometimes I have the heebie-jeebies and I can't sleep at nighttime, right? So I got up at 4 o'clock this morning, and the reason why I say I have the heebie-jeebies is because I just went to sleep at 1, so I don't know why I was back up at 4. But anyway, so in my wranglings this morning, I actually missed the race. Can you believe that? I actually missed the race. It was at 8:30, but I was busy. And then my social media took firestorm, and I said, well, what's happening in social media? And I thought Hubert Minnis had called the election or something, or that something else had happened, right? And then they told me, boy, we got gold. They said we got gold. I said, I know Big Stevie, just, you know, he say, no man, we rope him again. And so I got the clip, right? And I tell people, the one thing I like about sports and athleticism is, while the sports is interesting to watch, right? Wild sports is very fun to watch. I want to tell you, there is nothing more exciting than listening to the announcer. The announcer says, and here comes Shawnee Miller-Weibo with her pink hair breaking around the bend. I say, well, there you have it. I mean, you know, forget about how fast she running. Her hair is pink, and he just wants to make sure he points that out. So congratulations goes out to Shawnee Miller. I did it yesterday for Stephen Gardner. I'm going to have to do it again today for Shawnee Miller. I see Solo has a song now for Steven. Well, Solo, you have to be faster than that, because Shawnee them fast. They just win these races quick. When they win, Solo, you got to be ready to go. So I trust that by the end of the day, sometime we'll get the one for Shawnee Miller. But I have to. When you consider the fact that 400,000 people is the amount of people that make up this place that we call the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, when you think about the fact that we then take that 400,000 people and stretch it over 500 miles of country. When you consider the fact that 500 miles of country is all separated by water, you must then say to yourself, how? How do they do it? How do they get it done? How does a little country, just around 400,000 people, how do we even get people into the Olympics? And when we get them there, how do we get them top 8? And when they become top 8, how do we get bronze medalists or silver medalists? Or like we've proven, back to back, you see, we could get gold. Now, I see my PLP friends saying, Stephen gone gold, Shawnee gone gold, we going gold next. I want to say you got to watch the play on the ad-libs, right? Because the F&M friends could say, well, that's too straight. So we going too straight. Anyway, the national anthem, because I feel like that is the one common thread that makes us all who we are. Three chairs for Shawnee Milowebo. Hip, 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 hooray. Hip, 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 hooray. Hip, 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 hooray. Anyway, so I'm joined in the studio this morning by Captain Glenby, and he's back. He's been in Bimini, folks. I sent him on a reconnaissance mission to go and take a look at the port down there in Bimini and let me know what it is that he's found down there. As you know, we've been doing home porting. I've decided that he is a subject matter expert, and, you know, if I have access to him, then I want to make sure that, you know, he's able to provide for us as best as he can a bird's eye view account and assessment of what it is he sees on the ground. How exactly does that materialize? What exactly does it look like? And just to get his overall considerations on these things as we move through what the machinations of home porting and what will that look like and advancements in our own ISPS port sort of certified areas, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So he's back from Bimini. And he joins me in studio this morning. Captain, good morning. How are you, sir?
Good morning, Levan. I'm doing very well, thanks. Top shape as usual. Always a pleasure to be here with you.
Yeah,
thank you.
You look good. You look
appreciate
good.
That.
So I don't need to tell you because you told me on the way in that we got goal again. You heard the whole national anthem and all that other stuff. That's what that was about. You're back from Bimini, though. What exactly was your experience like in Bimini over the last couple of days?
It was a beautiful experience. Well, of course, Resort World is top class facilitation. But the dock itself... the dock is completed. I mean, they have put that dock there a few years ago, and they've put the icing on the cake sort of thing.
Okay.
Because they have a terminal out there where they do the put their people through as far as processing them. They have the security, ISPS security, always been in place. But they're now receiving cruise ships.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they were designed to receive one cruise ship. That's the Virgin. Ship. The Virgin now has two ships.
Okay.
That's the
Which
one.
Which class are they?
Oh, it's a super cruise ship. It's huge.
Is it like the Genesis?
It's bigger than Genesis.
Okay.
Yeah, but it's beautiful. It's not coming there as yet. Okay. Right now they got some Carnival ships, and some other ships coming there. But the actual Virgin ship hasn't even been there. Well, it had been there just before COVID.
Okay.
And of course, there was a stop to it. So they sent it off to Europe, and it's on the way back. But it hasn't used the facilities that the infrastructure that they put in place to receive. But other ships are using it. Every week, we got about two cruise ships going in and out of Bimini.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, they're carrying about anywhere between 2,000 and 3,000 passengers, and then another 800 to 1,000 crew. So Bimini is really, really looking good as far as, and there have been, as far as I am aware, there have been no negative incidents pertaining to COVID, pertaining to ISPS, pertaining to any facilitation of these ships coming in and out of Bimini. So, you know, the team down there, they're doing a very good job.
I know this is in your area of expertise, but I remember in the early days when, I think it was the Christie administration that had decided to put that dock down there. During the time of Resorts World, etc. And I remember the group out of Grand Bahama, the environmental group, talking about the impact of the of you know, just bothering with the mangroves, etc., etc., etc. If I'm not mistaken, I think they wanted to do something like extend the land about 2 miles out or something to that effect. And they always talked about the economic ecosystem effect. When you look at what is happening on the ground there, do you see any, is there any sign of the environmental damage that is so excessive that, you know, that it kind of casts a shadow on this development? Or does this development look like one that is working in tandem with the environment?
Well, as far as I'm not an environmental specialist, like you said, but I can tell you that the dock itself, where the dock is, I think there were some concerns about coral interference.
Okay.
Certain types of species that are around the coral that may not be there any longer, but... You know, the Bimini chain is a long chain of islands. The northern end of Bimini, I think they had some concerns about the mangroves in the extreme north of Bimini.
Mm-hmm.
But again, I don't know to what extent that might have been impacted.
Mm-hmm.
But I can tell you that, you know, if you're going to have development, you're not going to have it without some impact on the environment. Abba is a typical example. I mean, Nassau Harbor, the way it was, we wouldn't have cruise ships today.
Wow. Now, okay, so when you look at what's happening now on the ground at Bimini, have you noticed, is it like a very smooth transition, or are there like lines? Are people backed up? Are they piled up in tents underneath, you know, or underneath a tent outside in the sun? What are the accommodations like?
Actually, they have only one cruise ship at a time.
Okay.
Of course, they have the Beleria, the ship that the passenger ship only, I mean, the high-speed craft.
Okay.
That comes in, but, you know, you don't sleep on board that ship.
That's Resort World's boat.
No, that's not Resort World's boat. It's a private boat that did the run between Freeport and Florida.
Okay, yes, yes.
And the now Beleria. They come to Bimini, Freeport, and Florida.
Okay, yes, I do remember
the Beleria. So that's not a cruise ship per se. It's not a super cruise ship, and you know. But the cruise ship, the people live on cruise ships. So right. when they come to Bimini, they only come off to do a day visit, mm-hmm. and then they return to their ship. Mm-hmm. So the throughput, you got thousands of people.
Right.
Bimini Resort World has a series of tramps. And these tramps could carry anywhere between, say, 80 to 100 persons at a time.
Okay.
And those tramps are designed to get people from the dock to the casino area, mm-hmm. or to the hotel area.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's you can walk it in about 10 minutes, but of course a tram will do it in about 2 minutes.
Yeah, yeah.
And they utilize those trams, so it's pretty organized. Okay. You see the tram coming in, they have about 6 to 8 trams, maybe, I may be off a bit, but yeah. I know they have a series of them.
Sure.
And you see them coming in, going out, and they're going out with people, they're coming back in with people, so people getting to and from the ship all day. And of course, there's a spillover, people coming on to Resort World will eventually trickle into the Bimini community.
Right.
And, you know, they want the fresh kong, they want the fresh fish, and it's just a fantastic opportunity.
That is actually what I want to talk about next. When you were down there, did you get an opportunity to do any of the intermingling inside the actual city or?
Oh, all the time. I was going to Bimini from back in 1982 with the Defense Force.
Yeah.
That's those days when, you know, the Ben Mites would pault us with money.
Yeah, yeah.
So I am no stranger to Bimini. I like Bimini. I love Resort World. Mm. I've been going there now. When they built the very first, well, they didn't build a dock. They had this marina called the Fisherman Village.
Okay.
It's still there.
Mm.
That they put a terminal there to receive the tender.
Okay.
And the people would have to come off the tender through that terminal process before they even get in and going back out from Resort World to the tender.
Okay.
They would be thoroughly screened, searched, just the way it's done at Prince George Wharf, just the way it's done now at the cruise ship dock in Bimini, at Bimini Resort World.
Mm-hmm.
So they started off with the Fisherman Village, and then they have the government dock. Started, they prepared that as well to receive tenders.
Okay.
Because at the time, they didn't have a dock where the cruise ship could come in. It had to anchor out.
Right.
And eventually, they got the dock that they now come and actually tie alongside. So I've watched that development. I've done all of the ISPS assessments for each of those docking facilities. I've done the ISPS plan. I've done all the ISPS audits on an annual basis. So I can tell you full details of the full operation of what they do.
What is and I know it's all new. I mean, the prospect of home boarding is new. The docking facility in Bimini is new. And so it's always, I'm sure, room for growth. But as you look at it, do you see this being something that is at its, is this the high point for it here? Or do you imagine that this is something that will like continue to blossom in the Bimini community?
It's, well, as far as the Virgin ship, I don't remember it. There's two of those.
Mm-hmm.
The Virgin cruise ship, that Virgin company has injected a huge sum of finances,
mm-hmm.
into the beach at Resort World.
Really?
A certain section of that beach.
Mm-hmm.
The
beach was already magnificent, though. I mean, there was...
Oh, no. They made that like a first class.
Really?
Like you're on a regular flight. You're not in coach anymore.
Yeah.
You're in first class now.
Yeah.
It's all covered. It's nice seating. It's,
yeah.
I mean, the beach has been transposed.
Yeah. Is it like a luxury beach?
I've never seen any beach like it. It's a luxury beach. Well, of course, they didn't do anything with the water, but the facilitation they have there, they have, you know, you can have your condominium basically on the beach.
Okay.
And you get service, you get, you know, it's really taken it to the next level.
Hmm. When I was down there, I remember they had the little veranda, the blue little veranda area that you could kind of go at. And then they had...
That is still there.
Yeah, then they had some like lounge chairs going on over there. And then mm-hmm. to your right, they had the water sports boys. Or is all that still the case down
there? Oh, no. The beach house that mm-hmm. was there that you probably was familiar with,
mm-hmm.
that is still there.
Okay.
But moving to the north of that...
Sure.
They have about a quarter mile of just new... Not fixed, well, structures.
Mm-hmm.
And it's certain areas are covered. So when you're in there... You're not even, the sun is not coming directly on you.
Wow.
You are protected. They have their own bar set up. They have their own I call it horse delivery orders, set up, and you basically pampered and you pay to be in there.
Yeah.
So cruise ship passengers from the Virgin ship, I think that comes in as part of their package, or they could pay extra to get that, and they go on the beach and they fully pampered and they get the best beach in the world all day.
If you are listening to this show and you want to sponsor me a trip to Bimini, please feel free to do so. I have a passport. I could go to Bimini. I have a passport. I could go to Bimini, and I'd be happy for you to send me. So if you're wondering, what are you going to do with that money in your pocket? Hear now the voice of Levin Miller. You could sponsor me a trip to Bimini so I could go look at the beach myself. And then I could come back and tell you how wonderful the beach really was, right? Indeed. That's my music. I'm going to a break. Don't move. Levin Miller. I'm unleashed on your radio. Captain Glenn Bain is with me. We're talking about home porting and stuff like that. We'll be back after the break.
Hands to the heavens. No man, no weapon formed against.
In these dangerous times, you need protection that you can depend on. International Security Alliance will keep your business and assets secure. Our team of skilled and professional officers provide an efficient and effective means to mitigate threats to our clients. Our services include executive chauffeuring, corporate office security, asset management, marina security, and canine security. Get the protection that you can trust. Call International Security Alliance at 601-0766 or at 601-0767. That's International Security Alliance. Enforcement through reinforcement.
Hello, I'm Jermaine Kemp, a patient care assistant at Sunland Rehabilitation Center. I am one of many standing proudly on the front line of healthcare during the global COVID-19 pandemic, and I am vaccinated. I made a decision to get the AstraZeneca vaccine after attending an information session to learn more about it. I felt it was important to ensure that I did not spread the COVID-19 to my family, friends, and most importantly, my patients. My patients depend on me for their care, and I consider it a privilege to serve. I invite you to join me in keeping our client, colleagues, and community safe by choosing to be vaccinated. We can do this, Bahamas. Together, we can beat COVID-19 one vaccination at a time.
This message has been brought to you by the Public Hospitals Authority and the Sandilands Rehabilitation Center.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Thank you for staying with me. Welcome back. Levin Miller here. Captain Glenn Bain is my guest. We're talking about home porting and things like that because I like to talk to Cappy. He always has so much information, so much stuff he knows inside his head. And so I'm here trying to help you all be smarter because, I don't want to talk about politics all the time. So please forgive me. All right, Cap. So we see what's happening down at
Prince George Wharf.
Yeah. I want to say this, even as somebody that reads the news very often and is well-read and tries to stay informed, and although I saw the drawing, and although I understood what they explained to me, seeing it now looks different.
Yeah.
Right away, I can tell you that many Bahamians are concerned that the water has gone missing. Right away. And especially if you are a Bahamian over the age of 35, you remember the days when people would flip off the little ledge there for coins.
But you know that has changed. Do you know that when I was a little boy growing up,
mm-hmm.
we had a taxi call-up system now.
Mm-hmm.
That was water.
Really?
Yeah. They when they did the festival place,
mm-hmm.
they reclaimed that. What they're doing now today with the site just west of where the custom warehouse was,
mm-hmm.
They did 20-something years ago, about 20 years ago, with the taxi call-up system. Then you couldn't drive there. Vessels used to be there.
Wow. But my memory only takes me back as far as when boats would park right in the ledge closer towards Nassau side. There would literally be little fellas that people would throw stuff off the dock for, and like they would jump overboard.
Yeah, die for coins.
Yeah. This was of course when they had the hanging things that people could climb back up on, right?
Yeah.
They removed all of those, which made jumping off the thing impossible because if you jumped off, you couldn't get back up.
Yeah.
But now a lot of people are frantically, saying, well, boy, Nassau City has a water runoff problem. When we go and make more land, it makes the world more difficult to run off, and la-da-da-da-da, kind of stuff. What say you when you consider the development as somebody that has seen the drawings and understand the way ports are designed to work? Do you believe that this adds greater chaos to the flooding issues we have in the city area already, or do you think this is something that they can mitigate?
It gives the space mm-hmm. for the cruise ship passenger. The thing is, you know, the docks are basically just strips where people walk to get to and from the ship.
Right.
The festival place, as it was, mm-hmm. was totally congested. I can tell you, my company did security out there for a lot of years, mm-hmm. and there was many times when it just crammed. You couldn't get the people moving.
Yeah.
That's why they needed to add more security to just tell the people you got to keep moving. It's right. just too tight, too small.
Right.
When you got five ships on that dock, you looking at anywhere between 15 and 20,000 passengers.
Sure.
I'm not saying all of them coming off.
Mm-hmm.
But even if you have 5,000 come off within a three-hour period, you get so much congestion.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I can only say opening it up a bit
mm-hmm.
could only add value.
But then, I mean, you know, people are going to say, well, you know, there are properties all along that are eastern side of Bay Street there. Like, you know, I mean, I guess Bahamians just kind of like, you know, normalcy. And so seeing that area in the middle there by Senior Frogs is that seeing it, you know, filled in now for them is like, wait a minute, this looks strange, right? And there was so much more space over to the western side. Plus, you've got all that wonderful harbor stuff going on over there where, you know, what is that, Green Pirates and those things.
Yeah.
And so it's certainly more picturesque, right?
But that's all private.
I understand that, but yeah. This is the government and the Commonwealth of the Bahamas.
This is the government. The government decided, well, the cruise port decided,
mm-hmm.
look, we can work it with BF.
Sure.
Now, they can reclaim that land
mm-hmm.
and utilize it. They, of course, took down the festival place building, the port administration building,
yeah.
all that was flattened.
Yeah.
Because they're going to basically, and that's the only area they really could have used if they're not going into the piers.
Okay.
I don't think they had too much option as far as where the passengers can go
okay.
before they reach that bottleneck
mm-hmm.
of what you can call getting into the city, or, you know, they're going to be harassed
mm-hmm.
to some extent. You're not going to come here and people not offering you things.
Mm-hmm.
But you want to have some space for all the, I mean, this is perhaps the third busiest harbor in the world.
Sure.
And when I say the third busiest harbor, it's not only busy by the amount of ships. It's small. It's much smaller than the other ones.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're talking about that volume of people moving through,
yeah.
You know, you really need space for that to happen between the ship and the bottleneck where they get into the city.
I see they're talking now, though, Cap, about making the new festival place, I think is what they would call it, something where people that are coming off of the ship can enjoy it, but also people that are in the city can come on and kind of enjoy that. And, I mean, if the issue of space is still the issue, then doesn't that increase the amount of people that are going to be there and consequently puts you back in the same position as you were in? Because very few people were able to go into Festival Place as it existed. Like, I don't know of people that would just go to Festival Place.
Well, anybody could have gone into Festival Place, but you mm-hmm. couldn't get out of that northern side that leads you to the dock where the ships are.
Sure.
Obviously because of ISPS.
Yeah.
But the area that they're now reclaiming, the area that you mentioned,
mm-hmm.
as far as just to the south of the old custom warehouse,
mm-hmm.
that area would be for use, anybody can use it. The local Bahamian can go there. They intend to put an amphitheater there,
okay,
which is basically an open door theater type thing. And they also want to put a coral museum.
A coral museum.
Yeah. Yeah, both of those are going to be there.
Okay,
well, that's the intention.
But a coral museum.
But the area where the taxi call-up system was,
mm-hmm.
you know, in that area where the old Festival Place building was,
mm-hmm.
they're going to have a terminal. They're going to need a terminal. Because, number one, we're now doing home porting.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very difficult to do that while they're doing all this construction and all this renovation work.
Mm-hmm.
But they're getting it done. We'll hope that continues. And if it continues, because even before COVID-19 came around,
mm-hmm.
they had people coming through the airport to join those ships.
Okay.
You had surveyors. If somebody missed their ship in Miami because they had a flight problem,
mm-hmm.
They would fly them into Nassau. And they had an area in the festival place where they processed those people.
Mm-hmm.
Because obviously you don't want somebody coming in with their luggage and a whole family with luggage going straight into the ship that you have an obligation to protect. So they had to put all the luggage through the screening equipment. They had to let them, you know, walk through the metal detectors and all the rest of that. Those were the people, not the people who are going ashore to come back, because those people were screened already.
Mm-hmm.
These are the people who are joining the ship in Nassau.
Okay.
So this terminal would provide for that type of thing. And, of course, it would be a throughput for all passengers going into the city and coming back to the ship.
Now, as we do that, though, what do you think is going to be our security specifications? Do you think we have to now begin to modify the way we do security? I know the way we do a lot of things in this country is we kind of take the impact and then do the assessment from the impact and then decide from the assessment we've made from the impact we've already made how to not have another impact, which is crazy to me, right? When you could literally assess all the possibilities for impact and try to mitigate as many opportunities for there to be impact. That's not the way we do it in the Bahamas. If you don't believe me, check Princess Margaret Hospital, right?
I know, right?
What do you think are going to become some of the security specifications that we are going to have to put in place in order to make sure that this thing flows as smoothly as we would like it to make sure that it's incident-free for as long as we can possibly have it, and to ensure that things like home porting become a more encouraged thing from places like the CDC and that kind of stuff, because they see and know that, okay, the Bahamas can now be considered as a regulated or certified acceptable ISPS cruise, not just destination, but port or housing facility. How do you think we need to go about with doing that?
Well, from a security perspective, it's that facility is already ISPS certified.
Mm-hmm.
They already had to have an assessment done. The assessment had to generate a plan by which all the security officers work, and they had to be audited every year. The basic concept in securing that area is, well, of course, you've got your fencing.
Mm-hmm.
Your fence got to be at least 8 foot tall, barbed wire at the top, anchored at the bottom. You got the lighting, even during the hours of darkness, it should never go out.
Mm-hmm.
It should be at least to the level of twilight. You got your signage, and that's a very important thing, signage, with mm-hmm. that volume of people moving around.
Mm-hmm.
But you also have your signage for ISPS, telling people, you know, you can't pass, get beyond this point without certain identification and whatnot, something saying that you belong to the ship, all the rest of that. The port itself is there to protect the ship.
Mm-hmm.
When those ships leave, they go to another protected facility. When ISPS came around, the whole idea was, look, we got to bring the ship up to standard, mm-hmm. where we know it's very difficult to get anything on board the ship. Anything meaning the terrorists and their weapons, drugs,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Stowaways, because if drugs and stowaways could get on board, then the terrorists and their weapons could get on board.
Right.
So the focus was on making sure that nothing can get to that ship, you know, that mm-hmm. shouldn't go through.
Yeah.
So you set up your security with the fencing and the lighting and the signage and the buffer zones, and you do drills and exercises just to say, well, if something go wrong, this is what you do. You got to have trained security personnel. They got to do very specific training based on IMO model courses. To certify. It's similar to airport security.
Right.
ICAO put something in place that the world have to follow.
Okay.
IMO put something in place that the world have to follow. So Nassau Harbor is no different from any harbor anywhere else in the world that's required to be ISPS compliant. It's setting, and it happens in the early phases. I'm sure at this stage of the game where they're modifying everything,
mm-hmm.
they are making, they're keeping bearing in mind that, look, in all of this, we got to make sure the fencing, the lighting, the buffer zone, the people got to continue to be trained. We got to have certain modes of communication always available. We got to watch these ships. We got to patrol the area. We got to do certain searches, screening, all the rest of it. These things happen with any ISPS facility.
Mm.
So I would believe, I have no direct hands in dealing with.
No, I know, but I know that you're aware of how these things work.
But I audited them many times, so I know exactly how things work.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that the people that are there,
okay,
you know, they're pretty much up to speed with ISPS to know what is required and know how they have to set up their port facilities.
I see my phone lines are lighting up. Let me open the lines. 323-623-2325-4316-325-4259. You can text me, 4224796. Good morning, caller. You're on.
Yeah, good morning, Lee-Wan. How are you?
I'm well.
Okay, and your guest?
Good morning, sir.
Yes, last time you had your guest on, I called, but for some reason I didn't get on. I think you had finished the show. But I wanted to ask him if he was any relation to Glenn Bain out of Tonkin Island.
Actually, I don't know Glenn Bain from out of Tonkin Island. We could be related. My people are from out of, as far as I know, my Bain family is out of Crossing Rocks, Abaco.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
All right, 323-623-22325-4316-325-4259. You can text me, 4224796. Captain Glenn Bean is my guest. We're talking AISPS port facilities. We're talking the port facility in Bimini that he's just come back from. He's been having a bird's eye view of it. And if you want to send me so I could go have a bird's eye view, feel free to call me. I have a passport. I could go to Bimini. All right, let's take another call, Ali. Good morning, caller. You're on. Call later. Call, hello.
Hello, Levon. How you doing, man?
All is well, sir. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you, man. I am ecstatic. I am excited. And, man, look here. I can feel better. Man, God is still good.
He's hallelujah.
Okay? The gentleman didn't know that person from Canada just now. I want to know if he knows this one, J.J. Tubbs.
Of course, J.J. Well, I mean, I was a boy growing up.
The great
J.J. Stubbs.
Yeah, from the region, Bill.
Yes, sir.
Well, that was his granddaughter that ran across that finishing line this morning.
Oh, yes.
Okay. She
made me super proud. I was proud yesterday. I was highly proud yesterday, but I was super proud today.
I don't know what I on today. I feel so good.
Yes, sir.
I feel so good. You know what? I thank God. You know, that's just our God, you know. Yeah. When we're down and out and depressed and there's nowhere for coming from anywhere, he just shows up and he shows off.
Watch yourself,
you know, and I'm only calling to say congratulations to them. And let us all celebrate, and to God be the glory.
Thank you very much. If I didn't know any better, I would say someone should take the caller to A-flat, because he sounded like he'd come to preach a sermon this morning. 323-623-22325-4316-325-4259. This here says, Levin, good morning. If only some of us would take a page out of Shawnee and Stephen's book, Practice Social Distancing. The joke is, just so I put it into context, they said Shawnee beat the girls them so bad this morning, it looked like she was practicing social distancing. Good day. I have an awesome video on COVID. It is a must share. Okay, no problem. This here says, great show as usual. Ask your guests if the girls still look as good in Bimini after going for 30 years. But the Listen, I know the song says that they are fine felines down in Abaco. But what they really mean is the whole Northern Corridor, right? There it is, Abaco, Grand Bahama, or Bimini. There are fine felines in the Northern Corridor of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. So I imagine the answer to that is yes. This also says, ask your guests if you had any of the homemade bread down in Bimini. You can't go to Bimini and not have the homemade bread.
Yeah.
You got to go get the bread.
I was getting them homemade bread from Sil, used to make them, you know, from way back in the day.
Yeah, you got to have the homemade. When you get off the plane, you go put your bag down, you get a golf cart because they don't really have cars there. And you go by the little white building on the curve and get the bread. That's what you have to do. That's the basic or standard operation. 323-623-22352-316-325-4259. Okay, Cap. So all of what we have known to be the port is gone. In the redevelopment of the port, in the redevelopment of all of this stuff that's happening, what do you imagine? The CDC is saying now the cruise ships are getting the green light to go ahead. Do you think, here's what I fear, right? Like, if you go out there, to the natural eye, it looks like a lot of chaos, right? Like, there are one bunch of moving machines and, you know, and all that kind of stuff. How does that play in your mind to the product that we provide on a cruise level? I know cruise ports have to undergo renovations, sure. I know people always expect renovation, sure. But when I think about places like Grand Bahama, I think one of the difficulties Grand Bahama has had as a cruise port is it's not attractive. It just doesn't look like anything.
The ship is too far from the city.
Yes, that is another thing.
That's the main thing.
But the second, the issue I take here is, do you think we bit the bite too big? Like to flatline the whole thing in one shot is just, I don't know. I mean, what does that do to the product?
Well, again, we need the space. The thing is, the only space you had available to you mm-hmm. was between the first dock and Wood Rogers Wharf. Mm-hmm. Wood Rogers Road, the street, the back street that runs parallel to Bay Street. Mm-hmm. That's, I mean, they had an opportunity to break because the only thing that was alive out there was really Festival Place.
Okay.
The old customs warehouse was basically finished from that time. It wasn't being used for anything other than parking.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the Port Administration building is a loss, but again, does it need to be out there?
Okay.
So I guess they use that opportunity to just reinvent the place.
Yeah.
And Nassau being one of the top visits for cruise ships, I don't think that's going to change. And I'm not convinced that because they made this change, mm-hmm. it's going to bring more passengers.
Okay.
But what I do know is the fact that prior to COVID, we took a lot for granted with those cruise ships.
Okay.
You seen what Bay Street was like after COVID?
Oh,
compared
yeah.
compared to,
oh,
yeah. to what it is now, it's really not up yeah. to full strength.
Yeah.
But that is the kind of impact.
Bay Street, and I want to plug this in here, Cap. The first maybe 2 weeks after the lockdown, the hard lockdowns that we had, do you know, I think that was the first time I actually almost slipped into depression. Like, COVID became a real thing for me when I drove down Bay Street and buildings were shuttered. And I said to myself, it almost looked like, it looked apocalyptic, right?
It was scary. It was, yeah. it was scary.
No, this was
unbelievable.
It was, because you couldn't have told me or convinced me, first of all, that people would be locked in their houses. Secondly, you couldn't have convinced me we was going to shut down Bay Street. And so when I drove down Bay Street the first time, maybe the first, like I said, within the first 2 weeks of the first hard and fast lockdown, I reality hit them. I was like, wow, like this is real stuff. This is real stuff. And so I think Bahamians have gained a new appreciation for what it is, those cruise ships. As much as we say the cruise passenger only is the hamburger passenger and, you know, they aren't the luxury passengers that we want heads in beds. And I know that's been the message that we've been preaching for years and years and years.
A long time.
When you consider what your downtown is like without those cruise passengers, it is morbid, actually.
That's right. We didn't shut down Bay Street.
Right.
The cruise ships, it didn't make any sense to open your store on Bay Street without the cruise ship.
Yeah.
And once the cruise ships couldn't do their home porting anymore and they couldn't do their cruises anymore, mm-hmm. that just basically shut down any place cruise ships go. You can imagine the Eastern Caribbean that depends so heavily on this two yeah. visits a week,
yeah.
Not getting any cruise ships. So it's not only Bay Street. Most cities in all those Eastern Caribbean countries were basically, well, you call it graveyards or whatever you call it, but they had no passengers to sell things to.
Mm. As we evolve and as we evolve in our home boarding experiment. Is it still at the experimental stage, or is it something that we can actually lay claim on now and say, no, the Bahamas is successfully doing home boarding, or yes, the Bahamas can successfully consider itself or deem itself a country, a small island developing nation that has capability to home board. Have we reached that level yet?
I can tell you that we should be very comfortable when we consider the fact that other countries tried.
Right.
And they had to keep shutting it down.
Right. And so
we didn't have to shut down so far. And, uh-huh. and I think, you know, I hope we never have to shut down. Mm-hmm. But the reality is we've gotten it pretty good. I mean, we got the passengers coming from the airport going to the hotel.
Right.
Being processed at the hotel. You take them from the hotel in a bus,
right.
and you bus them straight to the ship, basically. So you know they're already cleared. They go on the ship, and I can tell you that the ships, the okay. cruise ships, mm-hmm. they're in a bubble. You have more stringent ISPS formalities for those people on the cruise ships than you have for those people who are in the ports that they visit.
Mm-hmm.
So the danger is really not us getting a problem from cruise ship visitors. The danger is the cruise ship visitors going ashore and picking up
COVID,
getting exposed and taking it back to the ship.
Which is what I want to talk about next, because there's been reported in the news, I think 6 people on a cruise ship that have tested positive for COVID, right?
Yeah.
That was the thing we all dreaded, but it is now upon us, right?
Yep.
And the question I have is, with home boarding working as successfully as it is, The possibilities of tighter restrictions, do you think that kicks the legs out from underneath home porting?
Tighter restrictions in home porting activities,
mm-hmm.
in my opinion, it's the same as restrictions generally in Nassau.
Okay.
The thing is, we still have people going around to places where they can remove their masks to drink or eat,
mm-hmm.
right? The curfew, doesn't change anything in my opinion, because if I can go out and eat and drink for a couple hours, get my mask off and mingling with other people, when the curfew kicks in, that's when I stop doing that activity. Mm-hmm. But if I don't have a curfew and I can't go out there and take my mask off in public to do anything, mm-hmm. then the curfew wouldn't matter. Because I can do takeout and I take my drink home or around people that you know, I can't do it out in the public anymore. So I think this thing spreads more when people mask is removed than anything else. The person going in a food store with a mask on and everybody in the food store with a mask on is far less risky than the person going to a bar to have a drink.
Yeah. I got to take a second break. Let's take another break. I'm leaving Mel. I'm Unleashed on your radio. Captain Glenn Bean is here. We're talking about home porting and things like that because I like talking to him about things like that. We'll be back after the break. In these dangerous times, you need protection that you can depend on. International Security Alliance will keep your business and assets secure. Our team of skilled and professional officers provide an efficient and effective means to mitigate threats to our clients. Our services include executive chauffeuring, corporate office security, asset management, marina security, and canine security. Get the protection that you can trust. Call International Security Alliance at 601-0766 or at 601-0767. That's International Security Alliance. Enforcement through reinforcement.
The new Guardian Radio app is here. Listen live to all our Guardian Radio shows and live video stream select programs in our studio. Get information about Guardian Radio shows and our hosts. Send messages, including text, email, and even call. All from our amazing new Guardian Radio app. Download it free today in your App Store for your Apple device or Play Store for your Android device. The all-new and improved Guardian Radio app.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Welcome back. Thank you for staying with me. Levin Miller here. I got to send a shout out again, man, to my boy from BAF, right? Oman got on every piece of aqua he could find today. Oman, you know what? I want the Olympics committee. And he got on a hat and all. I want the Olympics committee to please give Oman a ticket to the next Olympics. Because this looked like the best mascot we could find. I don't think we could find a better mascot for the Olympic team than this guy. And so I want to shout him out this morning over there at BAF and to the whole crew in the office there at BAF. Good morning. So, Gap, yeah, we were talking off air about, you know, the possibilities that restrictions, tighter restrictions bring, not in just the movement of people, but in the consideration of the destination. Sure, the Bahamas does home porting. Sure, I can get an opportunity to see the entire Bahamas as a passenger, or not the entire Bahamas, but a lot more of the Bahamas than I would ordinarily do on a Carnival cruise or on a Norwegian cruise. I get to see 5, 6, maybe 7 islands of the Bahamas, right? That sounds like something that is amazing and I want to see it. Then I consider the fact that the curfew may be tightened or the prime minister may decide that certain types of stores can't operate, like spas, right? And I may be a spa enthusiast. All those things factor into how effective home porting will be, I imagine. Do you believe then that it may be, as we move deeper into this tunnel of home porting, that we've just got to rip the restrictions at some point?
Well, the reality is these tourists are coming from countries where they have their restrictions in place as well. Mm-hmm. So most, just all of them would understand why the restrictions are in place. Mm-hmm. They would understand the pertinence of having them in place. So as far as the curfew now, that's a different story. Mm-hmm. But I just feel like tourists should be free, just like, I mean, if they're going to be in your country, mm-hmm. then you would have to, if you want them to be free, you want your country to be free. Mm-hmm. But you would have to focus, we would have to have what you call individual responsibility for protecting ourselves, first mm-hmm. of all, and then ensuring that those around us are taking the protocols to ensure that the COVID doesn't spread between people when you intermingle.
Yeah. We got time for one more call. Let's take one more, Ali. Good morning, caller. You're on. Caller, you there?
Hey, good day, Mr. Miller. How are you doing today, sir?
Hey, do it.
And good morning to the gentleman inside your studio.
Good morning, Dewey.
I want to ask the gentleman something when it comes to this home party. Tell me something. Is it that, okay, say for instance you come over on a boat for, you know, on a cruise, and you decide to, okay, you stay into the hotel. Is there restrictions of you as a guest different than the persons, the natives, for a better word?
You as a guest in the hotel, you mean?
Yes. Do you have more, when I say privileges, I should say, for a better word.
Well,
I think you or Mr. Miller said something about masks and stuff like that. Because when you look at it, sir, I saw something, which is facts, that where they had, and they said because the hotel is private, they can have, how many amount of people they want in their clubs. So I'm saying is the tourist has more privileges than the average native.
Okay, do it. Thank you. I think what he was talking about, Gap, is exactly what we were talking about on the break, which is the people that are responsible for the tourism product have got to understand that they are part of the enforcement of the behavior of the tourism product as well. So yeah. The taxi driver has to enforce the mask wearing policy and not just consider the fare, because he may collect this fare and it may be the last fare that he ever collects. The boutique store owner at the hotel has to consider the mask policy and has to become... has to become the enforcer of the policy. I mean, there's no, because COVID police can't be everywhere, right?
That's the individual responsibility I was talking about.
And they're busy in the Grove, so we know they can't be over by the hotels, right?
Right.
And so that is like you said, Gap, it has to come down to individual responsibility of the proprietors, of the participants, of the people that facilitate the tourism product. And those people have to kind of ensure that what DeWitt witnesses, which is extraordinary privilege, isn't extended as callously as that. So you have to say, hey, Mr. Tourist Man with the tourist dollar, thank you so much for this tourist dollar. Pull that mask up for me, please.
Yeah, but to speak to what DeWitt, he was saying basically, look, these people in the hotels can do things that us outside ain't doing. I don't think that that's to the exclusion of us outside. Mm-hmm. I think if we go into the hotel, we can also engage in those things.
Yeah, very
but,
much.
But, you know, I assume that, you know, the powers that be is probably just looking at the hotel surviving and ability to survive. But again, it still comes down to the protocols.
Yeah.
Even inside the hotel, if it's going to be going beyond the protocol inside the hotel,
it boils
down to the protocols and the individual taking necessary protocols to ensure that, you know, disease is not readily spreading.
You're absolutely correct. Gap, that's my music. That means we're out of time. Thank you again for coming. Whenever we get together, the time kind of ticks by very quickly. Someone also wants me to let you know, Cap, that there are also fine felines in Andros. So we will have to go and do a site inspection.
Well, I'm an Andros man.
We will have to go and do a site inspection. If you want to sponsor me a trip to go to Andros to check on the fine felines, just to make sure they're there.
Both of us.
Yes, indeed. And I need to take the captain with me as a subject matter expert, as a man from Andros.
Yes, sir.
Indeed. Listen, anyway, it's Friday. You know, I tell you like I tell you every Friday, do every single thing you can in your power to ensure you do not kill anybody this weekend. More important than that, do even more in your power to make sure nobody don't kill you. And if you do that, I'll see you back here on Monday. To my friends over at Nisha Key, I can get on the jet ski right now. I come in to see y'all. Y'all make sure y'all have it. I like it. I have a bear policy. I don't drink odd number bears. So, and two bears is not enough. And three is an odd number. And four ain't enough. And five is an odd number. So they know what to do. Anyway, I'm Levin Miller. It's Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Your station for fresh news and smart talk. Don't move. News, it's now.